you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 13 and 14 tonight. We want to continue to look at the book of Isaiah, but one of the things about chapters 13 to 23 in Isaiah here, he's going to be announcing judgment on 10 Gentile nations. And when you think of God's judgment upon the Gentile nations, you have to understand that including Judah. Judah was the southern kingdom of Israel. They're also going to receive judgment from God. Now, what's incredible, you would expect Gentiles to be judged because they become not only idolaters, but for a Jew or a nation of people that God has demonstrated his love, his grace, and mercy, and has revealed himself to each one of these, not only to the nations, but to Israel. How can they continue to follow and to copy the sins of the other nations? Wouldn't you say it's like the church today? Things that are happening in the church, online, in the internet, with phones. You know, it's incredible what you can do with a phone today. I mean, 8-year-old kids can do whatever they want to do. They want to watch pornography. They know how to use it complete. They want to take a picture of themselves nude, they can do that too. And then send it. These are the things that are happening in the church. In the church, and the reason is because they lack supervision. Supervision. It is important that you understand if your children, if you love your children, then supervise them. Supervise them. Once they leave your home, you can't do that anymore. They're adults. They're responsible for their own lives. But as Christians, we need to pray for our children. You know, when you think of the nations that God is speaking about here, especially the nation of Babylon, the hand of God, as the Assyrians not only took, you know, Israel, the northern kingdom, in 722 BC, they defeated them. And when they were defeated, the Assyrians and the Jews, got, they actually married with one another, and they had the Samaritans, the half-breeds are called. And then when they were defeated by the Babylonians, then the Babylonians went ahead and God used them, as he did Assyria, to chasten the people of God. Look at history. Egypt. God used the Egyptians for the people of God. They were there in Egypt and brought them into bondage by beating them. And doing all these things, and finally they were delivered, they were let go, and all with unbelief died in the wilderness area. And then remember, as Moses came along and all these things happened, then God used Assyria, used Babylon, then the Medes and the Persians came, and then the Greeks, and then Roman. Somebody asked me a question the other day. Does God use prime ministers, kings, and presidents to chasten that nation? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. King Nebuchadnezzar. Think about it. Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. Pharaoh of Egypt. And I wonder if in the 21st century today, because too much is given, much more is required, the reason the world knows about Jesus Christ is because of America. We've taken the gospel of Jesus Christ to almost every nation, missionaries from England, America. I can remember back in the 70s, first time I went to England, I was really impressed with all these beautiful churches. Beautiful. And we asked the question, how many people in England believe in God still today? And they said only 2% of the nation believes in God. Go there today, ask them. It's down to zero. What goes around comes around. It's coming to America. It goes in a circle. Go back to the 1970s, the Jesus People Movement, the way God brought revival. In the 80s, it began to wear out. In the 90s, it was far gone. In the year 2000, nobody remembers it. This is what happened to Israel and to Judah. Because they didn't make a stand for godliness and holiness. This is what Daniel said in chapter 4:25. He says, they shall drive you for men. He said, your dwelling shall be with the beasts, you don't have to turn there, of the field, and they shall make you to eat grass like an ox. He says, they shall wet you with dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. King Nebuchadnezzar, man, he had to go for 7 years and become an animal. Because he defiled God, the Most High God. I wonder what's going to happen in the next 3 years and in the next 4 years, 7 years from now. Where will America be? Where will the church be? If the Lord tarries, what's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to your children, my grandbabies, their children's children, if we're still here? And so when I study the Word of God, I always like to go back to the Old Testament because these are examples of things that happen and things that are going to come. It goes into a circle. Chapter 4 of Daniel 32, he says, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like an oxen, and 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. Who's in control? God. You might have voted, but God's in control. God's in control of every prime minister, every president, every queen, and just about every leader in the world. God's in control. And one of the things that as I was studying this great chapter, we'll get to chapter 14 in a moment. Satan, the father of lies, the one that controls. And we need to understand that if Satan is really, truly the one that controls, because God gives him permission. He's a fallen foe, the Bible says. And he knows that he's running out of time. He knows that. And because he knows he's running out of time, he wants to take as many people as he can by lying to them. By lying to them. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And you'll see that tonight. That at the same time, we know God is sovereign. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. But then at the same time, he is a God of judgment. A God that will judge one day. I want to stand before God in the fear of God. Not trembling, but in great respect for God. Being obedient to what God says in his word. And here, Isaiah wants to make sure that we understand that Babylon also, Egypt stands for the world. Babylon here also is symbolized by the world. Assyria by the world. All these evil countries and nations symbolize Satan himself. How do we know that? Go back to Genesis chapter 11, when the Tower of Babel was built. They were looking for their God. They thought they could reach the heavens. What are people doing today, as they're called, in Babylon? I mean, in Scripture, Babylon symbolizes not only the world system, but that God is in control of this confederation of nations, China, Iran, Korea, all these places. And we know, because we're Christians, as we read a little bit into the future, we know what's going to happen. Nuclear weapons will be used. By the time Christ comes back, only 1/3 of the population of the earth are alive. The 2/3 of the world have died by everything that's coming upon the earth. That's why the church won't be here. You don't want to be here. It's going to be so, so horrible to be here. Let's look at chapter 13 now as we begin to see here what he says. He says in verse 1 of chapter 13, he says, the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. So here we see that he talks about Babylon, which the word Babel came with, which means confusion. Back in Genesis chapter, remember, Genesis 10. Chapter 10, verses 8 to 10, 11, 1 through 9. Babel. To Babel, remember, they spoke the same language, and then God took and what? Gave everyone their own language. He brought confusion to one another. So Babylon plays a big part in the Bible. Even today, Iraq, modern Iraq, Persia, Iran. Think about the names of the nations. Soviet Union, Gog, Magog. I mean, it's incredible how the Bible goes back to the past, present, and then he gives us to the future what's going to take place. You see that word burden there? It's implying of a painful message that the prophet is going to be delivering. The prophet is going to deliver this message that is going to be painful. Painful, painful to the people. Because he goes on to say here, remember he says Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. So we see here that the word burn, the root word means lift up or will or bear or carry. To carry. So this nation is going to be carrying the judgment of God because of what they have done against God. And then he says in verse 2, lift up a banner on the high mountain, raise your voice to them. So he's talking again, raising up his voice so that everybody can hear. And then he says again in verse 2, he says, wave your hands that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. The sanctified ones, that's not any Christian or any believer. This is a term also used for heathens. He's talking about heathen soldiers in Babylon. They are going to come, and because of the sovereign grace of God, they're going to be not only attacking, but God is going to defeat Babylon. Babylon will be defeated. He says, I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of a multitude. Some believe that this is a fulfillment here of what has happened when we sent troops over to Iraq. Remember we had that war with Bush Senior, not Junior? When we were in the 90s, we attacked. You remember we went and we attacked and we won? Some of the commentators, they have written commentaries on this chapter. They say that this could represent the nation of Iraq when it was attacked, when we actually landed troops in Iraq. It's the beginning of the end. Because the Bible says it in the last days, everything will move to where? To Europe. Everything. Iraq. Iran is pushing and pushing and making noise, and they're not going to stop that. China standing up to the United States of America, North Korea, all these nations that no longer do they fear America. Could it be that in the next 3 years something could happen drastically? If people don't fear you, then they'll invade you. Could it be possible that one day, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, I'm just presuming on this, that America could be infiltrated and America can be ruled over as Babylon, Assyria came and they began to take over the nation. It could happen. It could happen very, very easily. So here he's talking about all these things. Then he says this again. He says, a tumult, a noises of kingdom of nations gather together, the Lord of hosts muster the army for battle. Who mustered them? God did. See, God's in control. God's in control of wars. God's in control of troops. God's in control of nations, kings, leaders all over the world. He says they come from a far country. Notice that. So here they believe that because they come from a far country, they believe this can be a prophecy when America took that step and went into the Middle East. Into the Middle East. And we began to invade the Middle East. He goes on to say this. From the end of heaven, the Lord in his weapons of indignation. Notice, indignation to destroy the whole land. Remember when we bombed Iraq? I mean, it was amazing to see modern technology. And what's going to happen in the future when everybody is getting these nuclear bombs? I mean, if you get a bomb, one day you want to try it out. You're not just going to put it in storage. It's who flexes his muscles bigger than anybody else that's going to rule. And I always think about that. You know, I was in the military. I was in combat. And I mean, I always think how technology is. If we had the technology in Vietnam that we had today, let me tell you something, we would have been ruling in the north. Easy. But people don't see that. that we're progressing in knowledge. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, knowledge will increase in the last days. And it's increasing more and more and more. Look at your cell phones. Look at the computers. Look at our modern technology, how it's progressing over and over and over. I mean, it's incredible what's going on in our world today, and we're living in that time. He says again, verse 6, well, the day of the Lord is at hand. So if this is going on, he says, the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is at hand. This will happen on the day that the Lord is going to return soon. He says it will come as destruction from the Almighty God. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, probably because of fear. And they will be afraid of pangs and sorrows will take a hold of them, and they will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another, and their faces will be like flames. Notice that. What I see here is that the church will not be here for that time. According to Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, Philippians 3, 20, 21, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. You go back and you study the New Testament, and here he's talking how there's going to be this time. But the church will not be here. We're not appointed unto wrath. The Bible says that. And then think about this, the Antichrist. Once the church is taken out of the way, the Antichrist will say, okay, here I am, I'm your new leader. And the world will become so deceived that they will take the Antichrist and worship him and take the mark of the beast in their right hand and in their foreheads. Deception is so huge today. And the church, salt, light, if we study the Bible like we're doing tonight on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and throughout the week, and we read the Bible, then why can't we get it? Do we really believe what God says in His Word? Or do we just read it? Do we really believe that there's a day coming where God's going to judge? Verse 9. He says, behold, great tribulation here, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath, notice this, and fierce anger. He's speaking about the tribulation period. He says, to lay the land desolate, and he, God, will destroy its sinners from it. The time of the tribulation will be so horrible, like I said at the beginning, 2/3 of the world will be destroyed, population-wise, and only 1/3 will be alive when Jesus returns. So it's going to be horrible when this comes to pass. Verse 10, here are some of the signs. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. Remember Acts chapter 2 talks about this, verse 11 on. And if you read through Paul's letters, we continually see this. Joel chapter 2, about verse 18, he talks about the same things. He says, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will become darkened. And it's going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked of their iniquity, their sin. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. What's the main sin? Pride. Pride. People think they're better than anybody else. The Antichrist has so much pride. And the people that will accept the Antichrist and worship the Antichrist, all of a sudden, those that were left behind after the rapture, family members, friends, when they see these things that are going to come to pass, immediately, they probably won't take the mark of the beast. If they do, they're done. But if they don't, what does the Bible say? They're going to have to be beheaded in order to enter the kingdom of God. See, right now, we believe by faith. We have a choice to make. We believe by faith. Yeah, the Lord hasn't come back. The rapture's not here. And we can have this belief in our heart and say, forget this Christianity. He's not ever coming. They're just making it up. For 41 years, I've heard it, and I still believe it. 41 years, and I will continue to believe it even if I die in this generation. Because God keeps His word. It's not in our time, it's in His time. We have to remember this in order to keep the word of God in our hearts. He goes on, verse 12, I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold. Men more than gold and which of Ophir. Notice the human race. Therefore, I will shake the heavens. Notice that. And the earth will move out of its place. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. The first earthquake that comes shakes the islands, the mountains out of their sockets. The second one in chapter 16, 17 to 21. There is no mountain, no island found. The world is flattened. In the last 7 years of world history, the earth will move out of her place. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in that day his fierce anger, it shall be as a hunted gazelle and as a sheep that man takes up, and every man will turn to his own people, and everyone will flee to his own land. There's going to be great disaster coming in the future for the whole world. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, killed. Everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. And then he says, in time of war that happens. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Can you believe that? Your children will be killed right in front of your eyes. Their houses will be plundered. And their wives will be ravished. Ravished. They're going to rape the women. Verse 17. He says, behold, I will stir up the meats against them. Who are the meats? Remember, the meats is what? Iran. Listen what he says. I will stir up the meats against them. Who's them? Babylon. Once Babylon to be defeated. Who will not regard silver as gold or for gold. They will not delight in it. And then he says, watch this. And their bows will dash the young men to pieces. They will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. And their eyes will not spare children. They'll kill the pregnant woman and rip out their babies from their bellies. They were crude. The worst nation in the whole world in this time, you know who it was? Not Egypt, not Babylon, not the Medes and the Persians, not Alexander the Great, and not Rome. Assyria. They had no mercy for anybody. When they would come into a city, man, they would take the people, separate mother, father, brother, sister, cousin, families, and they would take a fish hook and put it in your lip and hook your lip. They would take a chain. But before they did that, they would take it, they would take an arm off or a leg off or pluck an eye or take off an ear. Or they would bury you up to your nostrils and you can suffocate slowly but surely and the sun can consume your brain. They were the worst people in the whole world. Read their history. And now here the Medes and the Persians are going to come against Babylon to defeat them. Again, God's instrument. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldean pride, will be when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice that it will be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did God destroy them? Because of their pride. Plus, there was homosexuals in that city. They were ruling the city. You know, many times people think I'm against it. I'm picking on homosexuals and lesbians. I'm not. I speak about fornicators, liars, whoremongers, whoever it is. I'm always talking about sin. Sin. I pray that any sinner can get saved. I get mad, yes, because when you talk about people that are evil and they're trying to poison my grandkids and they flaunt their sin, then I have no mercy for those people. Because why wouldn't you keep it to yourself? You want to be like that? Be yourself. Why infect other people? Look what he says. I will never be inhabited. Nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch their tents there. Nor will the shepherds make their sheepfold there. Now it says here that Babylon one day is going to be totally desolate. God's going to wipe it out. Babylon's still there. We believe that in the last days, Babylon also will be a place where the Antichrist could make his headquarters there instead of Rome. We really don't know that. But we're presuming on that. So we keep an eye on Babylon. We keep an eye on Rome. And we begin to see that God already has his purposes. He will put it together. And the people in the tribulation period will experience it, not us. They will be here. Verse 21. But the wild beasts on the desert will lie there. and their houses will be full of owls, ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and the jackals in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. The judgment of God is coming. You know what? That's what I say about America too. The judgment of God is coming. Keep your eye open. Sooner than people think, the judgment of God will come. Then he goes into chapter 14. Pay attention to chapter 14. This is again more to Babylon fallen. Here having, he starts out by saying, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. Who's that? Israel. And will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. Notice what he's saying here. The Lord has mercy on who? On Israel. He'll bring them back in the future to the land to become a powerful nation. We haven't seen nothing yet. Israel is a powerful nation today, but they're going to be more powerful. That's why they say, America, you can help us, or you don't have to help us. They can do it themselves. They don't need our help. But when the Antichrist comes, he will seduce them. And he'll say, you worship me now, in the middle tribulation period. And then that's when Israel's eyes are open. And 2/3 of Israel, you can read it in the book of Zechariah, are wiped out by the Antichrist, and only 1/3, because they leave Jerusalem, they go to Jericho, Jericho across the Dead Sea, and they go to the city of Petra, the city of rock, where they will be there for the last 3.5 years, where God will protect them, totally protect them. I've been to Petra. It's an amazing place. When you go into the city of Petra, it's not a huge opening. It's probably a narrow way. The only way you can go in by camel or horse, or you can walk in. No cars, no buses. And as you're walking through this narrow canyon, all of a sudden you come to the end of the canyon in this huge city of rock. Amazing. Of rock. Standing there. Rooms where you can sit 10,000 to 20, 30,000 people in these rooms. This is where the Jews are going to be for the last 3.5 years. The city of rock. God's going to take them there. The Bible tells us this. And then he says, again, he goes in verse 2, then the people will take them, bring them into their place. And the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord, in the day of the Lord again, the last days. He says, gives you rest from your sorrows and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve. That you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, so God was going to use Babylon for Judah. They were going to be there for 70 years. And after 70 years, the rest of the Jews would stay there, become, that's where they learned to be merchants, there in Babylon. 45,000 would leave Babylon after 70 years and would go back to Jerusalem. And when they came back, remember Haggai? They came back, the city was destroyed. And God told them to rebuild the city. But they, when they came back and started farming and they started making a lot of money, they would go home and put their money in money bags and hide them on the ground. And they were not building God's house, which was a priority. And when they didn't do that, God said to the prophet Haggai, tell them this, the more they put into their bags, the more I will take it out. And God used to take their finances. And through the taking of their finances, it brought them to repentance and to build a house of God. Think of how many people today are ripping off God to build their own houses, to have their own pleasure, and they never ever give to God. I would hate to be in your shoes. Maybe that's why you're in debt. Maybe that's why you don't have enough money to live. You better read your Bible. And the thing about it is, he's not telling you to give him, you know, 10%, 20%, 30%. He wants you to give to him, what? Sacrificially. sacrificially. Then he goes on to say, enough of that. I hope God convicts you. That you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, he says, how the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter on the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath, notice where they continue stroke. He who ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and no one hinders. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth in singing. They break forth in singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against you. This is a prophecy of Israel in the future. How Israel is going to become a powerful nation. People are going to blow their minds. He says, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead from you and the chief ones of the earth. He says, it has raised up from their thrones and the kings of the nations. Can you imagine what it must be like to be in hell? I mean, we read the story in Luke chapter 16, verse, remember? The rich man and Lazarus. I mean, it must be something to be in this place, which at one time was two compartments, Abraham's bosom and the place of the wicked here, a gulf separating it. And when Jesus came and died on the cross and resurrected, he took Abraham's bosom out and they went to heaven. And then hell became one main place. One main place. And I always remember the rich man. He could smell, he could see, he could hear, he could think, and he could touch. Forever. Forever. And I go, Lord, why, if people can see that and hear that, why can't they change? I wonder how many people in hell today that said, well, you see it in different churches and they ended up in hell. Too much is given, much more is required. Never ever to get out of hell and then the lake of fire. So I would pray, man, for your loved ones and friends, I would pray for you to really get the picture, man, from the pulpit into our hearts. He goes on to say, verse 10, they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become a weak as we? Have you become like us? And then he says, your pomp is brought down to hell. Notice, this is the beast, the Antichrist. And the sound of your string instruments, the maggots, is spread under you. The worms cover you. And then he says here, verse 12 starts now. This is not to the king of Tyre. Now he's going to speak about Satan. Check this out. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? There's his name, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Remember, Satan was an angel of light at one time, a seraphim, like Michael and Gabriel, a seraphim, not a cherubim, a seraphim. And look what he says, son of the morning, how are you cut down to the ground? He says, weaken the nations. Notice what he's saying here. The power of Satan over the nations as destroyer of the nations. Look at it today. Destroyer of the nations. He says, for you have said in your heart, five I wills of Satan. First one, I will ascend into heaven. Notice he is proudful. I am going to go into heaven. Then he says, secondly, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You know who the stars are? The angels. I'm going to be greater than God and greater than the angels because I am powerful. I. Now you see why we always when you say I, be careful. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation to rule. I'm going to rule. He says on the farthest part of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. What's that? The clouds are Shekinah glory of God. He says, the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Like the Most High God. Can you believe that he said that? And God said, no. Boom, kicked him out. God didn't mess around. But let me stop for a second here because these are the five I wills of Satan. Let me give you some things about the character of Satan. He is subtle. Very subtle. Genesis 3:1 with Eve. 2 Corinthians 11:3 from Paul. Secondly, he's slanderous. He slanders people. He's slanderous. And that's in Job 1:9. Remember with Job. God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. And Satan says, well, you're always protecting him. He says, you're always, you know, you have a circle around him. You never want to do anything to him. He says, go ahead and do it. Let's see what happens. Then thirdly, fierce. Luke 8:29. How about this one? Deceitful. Deceitful. 2 Corinthians 11:4. And then powerful. Ephesians 2:2. Powerful. And then here we have them as what? As the one that is cowardly. He's a coward. James 4:7. And then how about wicked? 2 John 2:13. And then he's proud. 1 Timothy 3:6 also. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Notice he wanted to be like God. Remember he told Eve, you shall be like gods. If you eat man, you're going to be just like gods. The Mormons like to take that scripture, and this is where they get that when you die, you're going to become like a god. You're going to rule your own planet in the Book of Mormons. And that's the lie of Satan from the beginning. And here again, Adam and Eve not only deceived, but think about the temptation they came to Jesus. There in the three temptations that came in the wilderness area. Turned the stones into bread. And then took him up in the temple. Go ahead and jump. The angels will catch you. And then he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you only get down and bow down to me. And Jesus every time quoted scripture and said, no way, Satan. I am God. I am God. You're not God. And then he goes on, verse 15, he says, yet Satan shall be brought down to the pit, Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now, hell and Tarsus are two different places. Tarsus, it's in the center of the earth, but this is where in Genesis chapter 6, before the flood came, they were in chapter 6, verse 1, when God gave him, remember, the size of the ark and all these things. In chapter 6, it talks about the Nephilims. These are the demons that believe that they were half, when they had sex with the women, half angelic being and half human. And this is the reason that God brought the judgment upon the world through the flood, because the whole creation of the world is perverted. And God started with a new world. And yet, look what's happened to the world even from that time to today. It's so sad. But here again, Satan, yet he said, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So these demons in chapter 6, they're in Tarsus and they're in chains. They're so fierce, they're in chains locked up. And imagine the angels that fell one third with Satan. Today they're out there tempting and trying to take people down into hell. Verse 16. Those who see Satan, check this out, one day when we see him, they're going to gaze at you. He says, and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble? You got to be kidding me. Imagine, you got to be kidding. Is this Satan? So many times we paint a picture of Satan with horns, you know, and a long tail and a pitchfork. I mean, that's what we think of. And he's a beautiful cherubim. Beautiful cherub. And that's why it says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. Into an angel of light. He says, is this the man who made the earth to tremble? He said, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open, notice, the house of his prisoners. The prisoners that he brought into captivity. People in the world. People in the church that are deceived. And then he says this, notice. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. So here we see that Satan, one day, is not only going to be defeated, but one day as he is thrown into the lake of fire with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and then every person in hell will line up and they'll stand by the white throne judgment as the books are open. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Surely I want to be in the light, not in darkness. We make the choices either to be with him or to be against him. And then he comes back to Babylon here. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast down of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down into the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land. The slain of your people, the blood of evildoers, shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for the children because of the iniquity of their fathers. Notice the sin of their fathers comes upon the children. Lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut down from Babylon the name of the remnant and the offspring of posterity, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine, for the marshes of muddy waters. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. He's speaking about the destruction of Babylon. And that God has only a remnant of his people. And then he goes on to say this as he's concluding here. The Lord of hosts sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so it shall come to pass. Notice that. Surely I have thought it is going to come to pass. And as I have purpose to it, I shall stand. God's destruction of Babylon is going to be complete. Then I will break the Assyrians. Notice, he turns from Babylon to Assyria. Then I will break the Assyrians in my land. In my mountains tread him underfoot. And this yoke shall be removed from them. And his burden removed from their shoulders. 722 BC, God destroyed Assyria. When they came into the north, God destroyed the intermarriage with the Jews. They became the Samaritans. Then he says, at that time, he says, this is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over who? The nations. Look at the hand of God, the hand of God. God is all of it. For the Lord of hosts has purpose. Who will annul it? The hand is stretched out. And who will turn it back? This is the burden which came in the year of King Ahaz when he died. Do not rejoice, all you of Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken. For out of the serpent's roots will come forth a viper, and its offsprings will be a fiery fleeing serpent. The firstborn of the poor will feed, and the needy will lie down in safety. Isn't that cool? And I will kill your roots with a famine, and I will slay your remnant, the remnant of people. Wail, O gate, cry, O city, all you Philistia are dissolved, for small will come from the north. No one will be alone in his appointed times. What will they answer the messenger of the nations that the Lord has founded Zion? Here he's talking about the Palestinian problem could be fixed when Jesus Christ comes back. Today there's a problem with the Palestinians. That the Lord has founded Zion, future. The poor of his people shall be refuge in it. And then he, you know, when you look at the refuge here of the people, think how Israel today is looking at the nations of the world. I mean, why is it that everybody hates Israel? Why is it? I talk to people here in America and they go, oh, Israel, man, they're so bad. Because of the false publicity. People talking about a people they really don't know. Yes, I go to Israel. I talk to people in Israel. Yes, they're non-believers. They don't believe. And they don't really see that God is behind them. God's behind them. They're his people. But one day when they open their eyes, remember in the book of Malachi or Zechariah, he says that when the Lord comes back, they're going to ask the Lord, who pierced your hands? Who pierced both of your hands? Who pierced your feet? Who pierced your side? He's going to say, this and this and this was done in the house of my friends. You did it to me. You did it to me. Not only them, we did it too. That's why we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He has forgiven you. He has forgiven me. And now we need to continue to keep our eyes on him. Because he loves you and he cares for you. And Jesus is coming soon. We'll pick it up next week. Father, we thank you so much for your love. The grace that you have given to us. The grace that you continue to give to each one of us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you continue to open our hearts. Lord, that you use your people at work, at school, in their neighborhoods, Father. Lord, even here in the church. Lord, help us to be sensitive to people's needs. Lord, I pray that as we study tonight your word, that it would take effect in our hearts and our lives. Father, we thank you so much for those that are coming and studying book by book and verse by verse, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, that Lord, that you would continue to hold our hands. Lead us, guide us, Lord God. Lord, always walk in front of us, God, so we can follow Jesus. Lord, and if we begin to get in front of you, Lord God, remind us, Lord. And Lord, when we come to a closed door, Lord, keep us from entering in. But Lord, when you open that door, help us to be joyful and to walk in by faith, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for anybody here visiting with us tonight, Jesus. If you're here visiting with someone, you came on your own, whatever it is, you can leave here tonight the same way you came, or you can leave totally here as a different person. It's up to you. Nobody can force you. You have free will. If you want to get forgiven of your sins, you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want His blood to wipe away every one of your sins and never ever to be remembered again, and you want to get your name written in the book of life, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle and come up here to the front where I am. Those watching through the internet will pray for you in a moment. Let's worship and you come. As God speaks to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, whosoever comes to him shall be saved. Doesn't matter who you are, he'll give you eternal life. Anybody else? I'm going to pray. Those watching through the internet, you can pray with us too. I want you to pray with me right now, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord, as my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give us a Bible, you guys. See that guy right over there? You guys go right over there, okay? Follow through there. Awesome, awesome. They're going to give us a Bible over there. Awesome.